independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know, every once in a while, you got to take a deep breath and say, yeah, we've talked a lot about politics and stuff. Let's talk about other stuff. I like that. You know, in life, truth can be stranger than fiction. And there are two stories out there, one of which is going to be made into a movie. We'll talk about that in a second. Can't wait to see it, actually. It looks really interesting. It's the whole story. But a man named Theo Wilson posed online as a white supremacist, discussed what he learned about his ideology and stuff, and he's being very open about it. And he's not the first one to do it. And in fact, the one we'll discuss here in a little bit was showing you just how crazy that truth can be when you think about the overall scheme of things where everybody comes up with all these amazing stories. Well, this is an amazing story, but it's not the first again. But here is Theo Wilson.
You know what? It was one of those things where you can see that these people are very committed to their opinion, but it was exhilarating, it was ironic, and it was a little bit scary, to be frank with you. But ultimately, you're talking to another human being who sees the world different from you, and you have to keep that in mind.
And when you're online, you can pretend to be anybody you want to be, right? You can pretend to be anybody you want to be. So people go online and they do that, right? They catfish you and do all kinds of stuff like this. And this guy thought, you know what? I'm going to figure out what I can find out about these people. I have zero problem with that whatsoever. Again, not the first and not even close to going in the deepest. And we'll touch on that in a little bit. But he learned things. And that's what it's about in life. You want to advance in life, you learn things from one another, and you find out what makes each other tick. Sometimes there's ways that you can show people there are errors in their ways and their thought process. Other times, just it's never going to happen.
The understanding that I came from, at least gleaned from the experience, is that we all have political point of views about these hot button issues that get reinforced by our social strata. And if you're not careful, the people around you will reinforce you into a possibly hateful position. And they're victims of circumstance a lot of the time.
It's interesting. But he learned a lot of different things. And I found this to be interesting. And I've said this over and over again. And again, this is Theo Wilson, who posed as a white supremacist online to discuss a lot of what he learned and really the ideology and the stuff behind it. But this right here, these next two clips, really say a lot about it. And I have said this over and over again. I said, look, country's changing, right? Getting a little darker, right? A little bit more liberal, a little more loosey-goosey and free. Oh, yeah. And that makes people, that makes them uncomfortable.
The questions they were trying to get answered oftentimes had to do with, for example, a perceived double standard in how white people were treated versus how black people were treated just off the basis of their skin color, a perceived loss of entitlement, a perceived loss of opportunity due to the new political strata and changing demographic.
Changing demographic scares people. It does. Change is hard for people, and a lot of times people are resistant to change because it's an unknown, and with unknown comes fear, and they don't want to miss out. They don't want to, oh my God, what's going on? Things are happening. You see it all the time. It's not just in the color of people's skin people are resistant to change in the most minor ways. How many of you listening out there have had people that are terrified when you get a new system at work and they're just, oh, the old system worked better. Why can't we go back to the old? It's everything. We're resistant to change all the time. It's not just about the color of skin. I think humanity-wise, we're just resistant to change. It's natural because there's a fear there of the unknown, of the what ifs. And when there's unknown and what ifs, rarely do we think, oh, this is going to be great. We go to the point where we think this is going to be miserable and horrible, and it's going to screw us over, and we're going to be hurt and left behind, and I'm not going to get it. Rarely do we go, oh, this is going to be better for us. Rarely do we do that.
The thing about this is that we have a situation here where there is change. And any change is scary, especially if you've been on the winning side of how things used to be. And so when people from the left assail people from the right with terminologies that really say that you're the worst kind of human being, then they deny the right, the kind of nuance that they would wish to be viewed through, you know. And I think that we who would consider ourselves perhaps more liberal need to be mindful of how we address folks who don't see the world the way that we do.
Ooh, how about that? Theo dropping some knowledge. And I think what he learned along the way is it's a fear. It's not a hatred. Yeah, are there people out there that are racist and they hate the color of people's skin and who they are? Yes. But I think for a lot of people, it's fear. It's fear that they're being left behind. It's fear that things are going against them. It's a fear because there's an unknown thing that's out there, and that's the future. And I bet you these people fear a lot of things. Bet you they were hesitant when the computer came out. I bet you they didn't like TV. I mean, you can go back. There's a lot of things that they feared. This is another one of those things. It's not just, oh, it's too simple to say you hate because of. Well, what's the because of? Why do you hate? You dig down. And I think what he found is it's a fear of change. And I found this to be very interesting. And there's a movie that's going to be coming out. Spike Lee is going to direct, and Jordan Peele is who I love. Peele and is just, he's great. And, you know, Key and Peele, they're hilarious. But they're going to be a part of this. And it's a true story of a guy who was a police officer in 1978. His name was Stallworth. And he wrote a book about called The Black Klansman. And this was back in the day when there weren't computers. There were none of these things. And so what he did was he answered an ad in the paper. This is how open it was, looking for new Klans members. And he didn't think, he hear anything back. And he was a cop. And he gets a phone call one day, like 3 weeks later. And they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for new Klansmen. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And so what he did is essentially he conducted all of this business at first with just him. But when they wanted to meet him, he had to have another police officer go in his place. And, you know, they had to go over, okay, this is what I said, this is it. And a few times they questioned, well, why do you sound different on the phone? He's like, well, I have bad sinuses. And like, oh, and they just kind of, you know, put it off to the side. It was no big deal. On the phone, he was doing all kinds of stuff. And then he had another officer that would go and do this. And he did show up a few times at meetings where he was fully covered. Eventually, they pulled the plug and the police force said, hey, you know, you need to destroy all this stuff that you do. And he said, yeah, yeah, whatever. And he took it and he took about 35 or 40 files and he kept them and then wrote a book about it. And it's going to be very interesting. But he echoes a lot of what this Theo Wilson said, which is there's a fear factor out there. And a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid of change. And that's why. And the funny thing is, you know, when people hear Trump say stuff like, you know, we're going to, you know, we'll bring back America to its greatness that it once was. Some people hear, oh, he wants to put people in chains and he wants people to walk on the other side of the street and use special, you know, drinking fountains. And no, for some people who get excited about that, it's just the fact that the world has changed for them across the board. And it's new and it's fast. And it's no longer as simple as it once was. And so they lash out in anger and ignorance. It's not just, oh, you're black, I don't like you. It's not that. It's very interesting. And this whole thing with this police officer who went undercover, at one time, David Duke came to town, and he actually had to guard David Duke. And they got a picture together and said, look, David Duke was a very nice guy, well-spoken, talking about how he's changing the Klan from this, you know, clandestinized organization and trying to make it cleaner cut and, you know, and all these kind of things. But he felt that over his time that he stopped several burnings of crosses and a few other things. And when they told him to wrap it up, he said, fine, if that's what I have to do. But he said he got a call and they told him, don't answer the call. And so he didn't answer the call. And mind you, all this was going on and he put everything together through the phone and through his surrogate that would go out there and play him to the point where he was the leader of the local chapter he was at. And that's why he said he stopped several cross burnings. But when he didn't answer the phone that night, that very same night, there was a cross burning. Truth can be stranger than fiction. But if you drill down inside, you find out that a lot of what's out there is fear. It's fear and resistance to a lot of things. Not just the color of someone's skin or who they love, all of that. It's just fear. Because they liked a simpler time when things weren't all on a phone, when stuff didn't happen at 9,000 miles an hour, and that there was more of a known quantity as opposed to now, which is lots of unknown. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. You travel for business, I do. You know it's a crapshoot. You win some, you lose some. I have lost on more than a few occasions where I get stuck in the middle of two people. It's just a nightmare. It can drive you crazy. It really can. You know that. You know. You know. You're stuck in the middle. It's hot. The little thing doesn't work. Person next to you has listened to their music just as loud as can be. You can hear every word, you know, and the person on the other side is sleeping and they're on your shoulder and you're like, this is a nightmare. Don't let that happen to you. And there's a great way that you can prevent a lot of these things from happening and get lots of wins, and that's going with Upside.com. Upside has the best available prices for flights, hotels, and rental cars. That's your first victory. Your second victory is the fact that they reward you for buying a business trip every time with great things like gift cards to Amazon.com. But the most important thing, especially for small business owners, and this is really why they put this thing together, is Upside has what they call navigators, not customer service reps, but navigators, 24/7 concierge kind of service where, you know what? They actually get in front of you in a lot of ways to see what your trip's going to look like and help prevent a lot of these things before they happen. That's what's amazing about Upside. It really is. 6-star treatment, not 4-star treatment. They've got an amazing app that you can use. You can reach their navigators 24/7 by using the app, by voice, email, whatever you have to do, and they're there for you. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And I'm going to start your 6-star Upside treatment right now. Go to upside.com, use my code CHAD, and you're going to get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. That's code CHAD for a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at upside.com. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Fasten your seatbelt. Would you like fries with your fast food politics?
I tell you, I'm so excited I can barely breathe.
Now that is a man who has eaten a lot of beef.
We're happy to serve you here at the Chad Benson Show.
Here we are, a treat for the masses.
Thank you for you feel.
Those are the sounds of people on the street today as a 7.1 earthquake hits just outside Mexico City. So far, about 100 people reported dead. I'm sure that'll change. Hopefully, it'll go down rather than up, but you don't know. Mexico, you know, here's the half glass full thing. This is the anniversary of what took place some 32 years ago to the day of a massive earthquake that also struck in the same area, causing plenty of death. Not 100, but 5,000 plus. So it shows you how far Mexico has come But it's definitely a massive earthquake, and this is the second one in a short period of time. This seismologist, Dr. Lucy Jones, if you're in California, you know who Lucy Jones is.
A 7 means you've got a fault that's at least about 30 or 40 miles long. You know, it might have ruptured towards Mexico City, which might explain higher levels of shaking there. It's also going to last for a pretty long time.
And it did. I've seen some stuff there. It was, you know, buildings were shaking, but they were swaying, and you could see how much different it is. And as I explained to people, Mexico City is not, when we think of Mexico, we think it's just this rural area out in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing. There are big cities, and Mexico City is a very cosmopolitan, very modern city. And you, it would be hard to distinguish between Mexico City and a lot of places in this country. It is a very well put together city, and it was able to weather this comparatively, again, to what took place 32 plus years ago, where they lost 5,000 people in something very similar to what took place today.
And it's going to have aftershocks. One thing about a deeper earthquake, they tend to have somewhat fewer aftershocks, so that might not be as bad a problem this time.
Yeah, which is a good thing. So we'll see. And anybody who's ever been in earthquakes will tell you it is the aftershocks that get you. The first initial shaker loosens and weakens structures. The aftershocks that come are the things that bring stuff down, especially in places that are a little bit more well put together. But I'd be lying, and I've been in that situation where you have a few restless nights afterwards because, you know, you're waiting for that next one, because a lot of times these big ones and even small ones are precursors to something bigger. And, you know, here in California, we're always waiting for the big one. But, you know, I still take an earthquake over a hurricane or a tornado. Blizzard be all right. But I'll still take that hurricane. You know, because you could see it coming, right? You could see it coming. You could see it. Tornado, you really can't. But those things are huge and they're massive. And they're going to last hours and potentially days with the hurricane. Earthquake, it could be momentarily and it goes away. We had one today here in Southern California. It was like, eh. The Mad Pooper, she's out there. And Milo's getting ready to go back to Berkeley. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Ah! Free Speech Week is coming up soon, and it's coming to a place called Berkeley, where free speech as we know it isn't what it used to be, considering this was really kind of the home of that free speech kind of movement. But over the last, 20 plus years, Berkeley has become a bastion for liberal think. And quite frankly, it's sad to think that a place that prides itself on being open-minded is in many ways the most closed-minded places. Earlier this week or last week, you had Ben Shapiro there, which set a bunch of people off. But coming to Free Speech Week is the three most probably hated conservative speakers out there. Ann Coulter, who's already had her free speech, her speech once at Berkeley canceled. Then you've got Milo Yiannopoulos, followed up by Bannon. Yeah, that guy. And they're freaking out. They're losing their mind. What will they do? Will it even happen? Here is Milo.
If you've been reading the press over the weekend, you might have been misled into believing that Berkeley Free Speech Week
is in a bit of bother. I'm here to set the record straight. UC Berkeley has been racking its brains for months trying to work out how to cancel Free Speech Week. They do not want us on campus. The administrators at UC Berkeley have tried everything to derail Free Speech Week, up to and including accusing the students of being inept. They're not.
They're not inept. But all of the faculty, for all intents and purposes, has said we need to cancel class, we need to tell students not to show up, and we need to do these things because there are people coming, and with their words, they may slay us because you know how dangerous they are. We need you to be indoctrinated only by us. We're going to need safe spaces. We're going to need trigger warnings. We're going to need all kinds of things if this is to happen here.
Here's what's really happening. Violent leftist thugs burnt down the UC Berkeley campus the last time I attempted to speak there. So they're right to fear the thugs will do anything to stop Milo, Anne, and Uncle Steve from holding a microphone on campus. Leading this coordinated bureaucratic mission to silence conservative voices at Berkeley is the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, Steve Sutton, who, it shouldn't surprise anyone, lists his preferred pronouns in his email signature.
Oh. That is good. Phil, do you list your preferred pronouns in your email, or is that a negative, Ghostwriter?
That is a negative, Ghostwriter. The pattern is full.
Okay, good. Fantastic. That's all I wanted to know. So here it is, the bastion of free speech, the place where it all began, really, in a lot of ways, where free speech really became a movement rather than people exercising it as one-offs and this, that, and the other. This is the place. And yet now it is a liberal bastion where these kids are coddled and protected from anybody else being able to hear the opposite side of what the indoctrination is going on inside of, yes, the campus. Oh, no!
Steve Sutton released a press statement over the weekend saying that two of Free Speech Week's headline events are now cancelled because the student group hosting us, the Berkeley Patriot, failed to file the paperwork on time. Well, that isn't true. For well over 3 weeks, the student group hosting Free Speech Week, the Berkeley Patriot, has been stonewalled, ignored, and sidelined by the Berkeley administration, which has consistently refused to answer questions and even return phone calls.
Oh, well, that's one way. You didn't file it. Well, that's because we weren't going to allow you to file it. I mean, that was on you. Isn't it amazing? I mean, if you think about this for a second, right? We joke about stuff like this, and I've talked to Milo on a few occasions. Very nice guy. He's a provocateur, and if you're 22 years old and you're allowing this kind of stuff to wound you, you need to seek psychiatric help. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I think that's why you listen to the show. This stuff's insane. To even think for just a second that maybe, just maybe, you're afraid of words. What does that say about you? What does that say about your kids? What does that say about your parenting? If your child is afraid to hear these words or to hear people that are going to come armed with facts, even though they may be provocateurs, even though they may scream and yell and they try to get everybody to pay attention to them because that's what you do in this industry, it's sometimes not right or wrong. It's the loudest. But they're armed with facts, and they come there. And people are afraid of people like Milo Yiannopoulos. Right? Ben Shapiro. Steve Bannon. And Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter is about 5'11 and 32 pounds. What is she going to say or do that will destroy you? But yet they're having Free Speech Week, and they're going to try this again. And I understand being nervous as an administrator, because the outside elements that may show up, the Antifa groups that come there, and they're not interested in going to school there, but they are interested in causing mayhem. I get that, because you are charged with these kids here. Now, they're your charges, and you don't want to see these kids get hurt, because the last thing you need is a big-ass lawsuit. I get that. But if you allow the police to be the police, and you do what you had to do last time with little old Ben Shapiro there, I think things can be okay. And having kids get a second view compared to what they get all day long with the indoctrination by most of the professors there is a good thing. If you're trying to hide people from information that's out there and you don't want the two to ever meet, it's because the information you're feeding them may actually make sense and go against your ideology and your beliefs. I'm just saying.
We're not going to cancel Free Speech Week. I'm not going to allow these slippery bureaucratic tactics to derail an event that we've been planning for months and which is going to end up costing almost $250,000. UC Berkeley waited until after a speech by establishment-friendly conservative Ben Shapiro to respond to the Berkeley Patriot and to us. They're trying to pretend to you that they're viewpoint neutral, but it obviously isn't true. Nobody riots when Ben Shapiro speaks, but they do when I show up. They will for Ann Coulter, and I'm pretty sure they also will for Steve Bannon when he shows up at Berkeley later this month.
I think Steve Bannon is going to be like Damien in The Omen. I think he's going to set foot on there, and it's going to be like, those people are going to freak. But the fact that you would say cancel classes because of shows me that whatever you're peddling isn't worth the money those kids are spending. I'm just saying. I said I was going to do it, and we're going to do it. There is an incident that is taking place, an incident indeed, that is vile, that is disgusting, that makes you scratch your head, but only after you wash your hands.
We call her the mad paper time freak.
Kathy Buddy and her family have had enough.
And it's not like it's private. People can see you. I mean, we're seeing her, so.
Pants around ankles, in broad daylight, her kids saw it happen first.
They came screaming, you know, you're not going to believe this. They're like crying. It's like, what? And they're like, there's a lady taking a poop.
The mad pooper. And they got a picture of the mad pooper, and I thought it would be like a 70-year-old senile person or doing something. Nope, it's a person who's out on a jog who comes with her own toilet paper and whatnot, and she is the mad pooper. And this is happening in beautiful Colorado. And you sit there and you think to yourself, what in God's name are you doing? I'm just curious how... You know what somebody's going to say, Phil? It's her right. I'm waiting for that to be the mad pooper.
Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boys. It'll gross you out. Oh, here she comes. She's a mad pooper.
Oh, indeed, kids. Oh, indeed. But it doesn't just end there.
And so I come outside. It's like, oh, dear goodness. And so I was like, are you serious? Are you really taking a poop right here in front of my kids? And she's like, yeah, sorry.
Kathy says if that was it, there wouldn't be a problem.
And so I thought for sure she's mortified. It was an accident. She'll go get a dog bag, come back, clean it up, you know, and never run here ever again. Not the case.
So Lieutenant Black, who's been on the police department for 35 years, says he's never seen anything like this. They're not quite sure if she has mental health issues at all. But now they're looking for the mad pooper. And it is kind of, I mean, if you think about it for a second, it's insane. And people who run a lot, and I remember this as a kid growing up. Producer Phil, you will probably remember this. We used to watch the old ABC Wide World of Sports. And they used to, the first time I saw a triathlon, and that girl that was in the front, basically after, you know, the 2.5 mile swim and the 100 mile bike ride and the 26 miles, she had kind of lost all functions. Everything was, it was gross. And
yeah, it was weird.
And runners, stuff like that, they'll tell you. And the same thing with, you know, bicyclists who do the Tour de France and stuff. This is a lady in the middle of a neighborhood in Colorado. She's not doing an endurance race. She's not. She's cruising around, running around the neighborhoods, dropping deuces.
Kathy says the runner knows what she's doing and comes with napkins in her pockets.
There's a bathroom across the street right here. Our park has porta potties. There's a gas station right here.
She's even working on an embarrassing smear campaign, posting this sign to get her to cut the, well, you know.
Quick, because it's disgusting. I mean, bottom line is it's disgusting.
Officers have asked Kathy to snap some pictures of the runner and get the word out, hoping she will stop before indecent exposure and public defecation charges.
Oh, my God. Colorado, is this because of the weed? I'm just asking you. Is this because of the weed? Because if that's what weed's going to do to people, then I am totally against weed. Right? If that's what weed's going to do to people, then I am like, we are not doing weed. But the mad pooper's out there and maybe coming to a neighborhood near you soon if you're in Colorado. That was a crappy segment. Be here all week. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423. It is the Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Arr, talk like a pirate day. It was funny when I went out there and did that today. I told producer Phil, I said, oh, the gardeners are here. I'm going to go out and I'm going to say, ahoy. And you're supposed to say matey, but I said amigo. And they just kind of looked at me like, what? What's wrong with you, white boy? I'm like, I'm Latino. God. But no, but Chad, you're not. But I am. But oh, it doesn't matter. It really, really doesn't matter. Goodness me. It's crazy. It is crazy. Crazy, kids. I'm telling you, it's crazy out there. Fun show today. We learned so much stuff. You know, that's what it's all about, kids. It's about infotainment. I mean, you know, look at some of the stuff we learned. We learned about the UN today. We learned that the UN, which is the United Nations, which came after the League of Nations, and both of those nations, pretty useless. It's kind of what we learned. Trump called them out for it. Trump said they could be epic. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, he threw it out there. Wishful thinking. We learned that today on the old Chad Benson Show. I like that. That was good. It was fantastic. We learned that, taxes, they're there, and that it's about subtlety rather than getting anything done, and then we're probably not going to get that big, amazing tax kind of reform that we were hoping for. We learned that today, and that kind of makes you sad. Wah, 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 wah. We learned that wiretapping is apparently okay if you're the last administration. But there's more to the story, so before everybody runs out there and says, whoa, 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 understand, they've been investigating him for a while, old Manafort there, and maybe, just maybe, they're hoping they could put the clamps on him, and in some way, shape, or form, he may flip and talk about Trump, Trump Jr., and try to find somebody who's done something wrong, because they have a vendetta out there, and I think it's pretty clear that they're coming, and as they normally tend to do, is they come much harder than they would for anybody else, because they're hoping if they overcharge you, you'll deliver. Yeah. We learned that there's new health care, potentially. But we also know that that's kind of a joke, because we've heard this story before, and it's not really new health care. It's a new name disguised pretty much in the same way that Obamacare is. The difference is, rather than the Fed spend it, they're going to send block grants down to the old states, and they are going to allow them to do what they want with it. We learned that Colin Kaepernick wants to play football, and because of that, more teams may be very interested in Colin because he has a want to play football. And in the NFL, if you've got the desire, that goes a long way, because if you're going to be a headache, you better be good. We learned that Mexico was shaking, but luckily, 32 years to the day, they didn't shake as bad and fall apart the way that they did before. 7.1 earthquake that affected Mexico today. Still getting final data on that, but 5,000 died 32 years ago. This will be right around 100. We also learned today that there's a mad pooper out there. We did. We learned that there is a mad pooper on the loose in Colorado, and that she particularly likes this neighbor's house or something, and that when she is going to deuce it up, if you will. This is the place she goes, even though there are other facilities around. That's why they call her the Mad Pooper. And we learned that, yes, free speech is back at Berkeley, but at a cost. That cost may be $250,000, and that cost may be the fact that nobody's going to go to school that week because they don't want to hear the words that may hurt people. What? I know, right? Stupid. That's a lot of stuff to learn. Take it all in, people. That's a big show right there.
That's a lot of learning right there.
That is a lot of learning. That is a hell of a lot of learning. You're welcome. I kid, kids. I kid. Solid fun show as always. We're going to get you over that there hump. We promise you that. And you also learned today who started Talk Like a Pirate Day. Yeah, you did. My God. Every time I turn around, I was like, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. We're going to feed you again tomorrow. Oh, yeah, baby birds. We'll feed you again tomorrow. You can follow along always at Chad Benson Show. Chadbenson. That's your Facebook. Go there. Push the little click like it button. Comment. Have fun. Even if you disagree, I'm good with that. Text us always, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Tostada Tuesday in the books. We'll get you over that hump tomorrow. That we do promise you. For Mr. Anthony, for Mr. Phil, my name is Chad Benson. And as always, I bid you adieu. Night, night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.